And he made sure that his subjects worshipped him as a god. Jayavarman was a god king. All the resources of an increasingly centralized government preserved the cult of the god king. Everyone was expected to subordinate any individual ambitions they had to perpetuate the existence of the king on earth and his identity with the god in the next life as well as this one. Jayavarman II ruled for 45 years, like Egyptian pharaohs. Longevity of rule and ability almost invariably meant a stable kingdom which progressed. He was the first of three dynasties of Khmer rulers who presided over a volatile state that reached the height of its prosperity between AD 900 and 1200, the period roughly of medieval times in Europe. The Khmer king was the Varman, the protector, and his noble priests, who served his every wish and need, were the instruments of political power. The noble families presided over a bureaucracy of patronage, which supervised every aspect of Khmer life, controlling labor forces and food surpluses raised by very, very carefully controlled and taxed agriculture, and also by tribute. They served the god. They served the king. For instance, the most important ritual of all was the custom of building a magnificent temple to house the royal linga, the phallic emblem of creative power. And this spilled over into an extraordinary investment by the 30 rulers who followed Jayavarman II in massive shrines on mounds in an area called Angkor, which was the hub of the Khmer universe. And this is where the greatest Khmer archaeological sites are to be found. The cult of the divine king reached its height when King Suryavarman II built the great temple of Angkor Wat in A.D. 1117. Angkor Wat is the largest religious building in the world. It beggars the imagination. It dwarfs the largest Sumerian ziggurat. It dwarfs the pyramids of Giza. It dwarfs the Parthenon, Tikal, and great Maya cities. It is, quite simply, colossal. Every detail of the temple, of this great structure, reproduced the heavenly world in a terrestrial mode. The highest tower represented the cosmic mountain, Meru, where the gods lived. The remaining four towers depict Meru's lesser peaks. A great enclosure wall depicts the mountains at the edge of the world. The surrounding moat, the ocean beyond. A model, a symbolic model of the cosmos. You find that Mesoamerican rulers did the same thing. They built their cities as symbolic models of their world. During his lifetime, Suryavarman used the temple as a palace. When he died, his remains were buried in the central tower so that his soul entered the divine image and made contact with the royal ancestors. He became as one with Vishnu, the master of the universe. Angkor Wat really taxed the resources of the kingdom at a time of vicious strife with neighboring kingdoms. But that didn't deter Jayavarman. He ordered the walls of Angkor Wat covered with the most magnificent friezes of sensuous dancing girls, of armies with war elephants advancing into battle, of all the glorification of his rule, his kingdom, and the cosmos. It is, quite simply, a masterpiece, but a masterpiece built at enormous cost. This was a centripetal empire. Everything flowed to the center for the benefit of a divine king. Far more than a pyramid. It was completely centralized.